Morning, everybody. Welcome to St. Andrew's. It's lovely having you all here. As we come the week after Easter, it is a time of great rejoicing, a rejoicing that requires spiritual eyes to see what God is doing. So let's pray that God would use this time really well for all of us who are gathered here today. Would you join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, how awesome is your name in all the earth. Thank you that you are the God who raises the dead. You are the God who gives a living hope. Thank you that your Spirit works in our spirits and that you continue to sustain and nurture us. Father, we pray that this service would be one that honours you and builds up the body of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In April, our mission focus is our link missionaries, the Thomases in Thailand and the Anglican Defence Force. As we know, Trevor is connected with the Defence Force, and it's fantastic that we can prayerfully support them as well. As believers, we are people who delight to praise the King who is King forever. So if you would stand with me as we join in singing, "Come People of the Risen King." We will be certain also of the things we are taught.
Tomorrow.
a seat. I'd like to welcome today Reverend Peter Morphew. He is going to be speaking to us from the scriptures later. Peter is connected with our Presbyterian parish at Abbotsford and has done a lot with Scripture Union. You may be familiar with his name from there. And we are really privileged to have you today. Thank you for coming. We have come together to meet with our Maker, to take part in the building of his church. We're reminded in the scriptures that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. It can be a very challenging thing to recognise and acknowledge, I caused the blows that wounded Jesus. It's when we are able to recognise that reality that we begin to experience the healing and the joy that does come from being a believer in Jesus. So let's just have a moment quietly reflecting before we acknowledge our failure to live God's way and our need for his help and forgiveness. Please join with me as we say together this prayer. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scriptures have a beautiful affirmation. In the Psalms, we are reminded, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. We now have a moment just to turn around and greet people who are close to you, as if children would like to leave with Karen, that would be wonderful now. Before Max comes up to read the Bible for us today, I'd like to lead us in a prayer asking that God would bring his word to life and help us continue to delight in his word. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name. Thanks, Max. If you would like to come up for the reading, please.
Good morning, everyone. This morning I'm a bit surprised that it's my reading, but I didn't prepare for it, so I hope you will forgive my German faults. The reading is Luke 24, 13 to 32. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," he replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they have seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures and concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from the sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning with us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?' This is the word of the Lord.
While those people might not have recognized Jesus, we want to keep a really clear vision of Jesus in before our eyes. So please stand as we affirm our faith together by saying from Colossians the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Please have a seat, and I invite Reverend Peter up.
I don't get called Reverend Peter all that often, and if you knew how irreverent I can be, you probably won't call me anything but Peter either. Because we know that Peter in the Gospels was the rockhead who really didn't get it. Thank you, thanks to Trevor for the invitation, and thank you for welcoming me as you have. It's a great pleasure for me to share with you this morning. Would you pray before we look at this section of Luke 24? Our gracious God, we need your help. We always need your help. So we pray that your Spirit would come among us to open our eyes, to open our minds, to soften our hearts, so that we might again see and know and learn to love even more the risen Lord Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Well, last weekend I listened to your Easter service, and as I listened, I learned something about Trevor. Now, I was reminded of something about Trevor. That Trevor's forgetful, isn't he? You know, he'd forgotten his Bible, his glasses, his phone, and he didn't even mention his keys. Now, if he's anything like me, the keys are the things that get forgotten most often. As he said, we're often preoccupied and distracted by the immediate circumstances, the things that are there before us all the time. And as a result, we forget the things of greater importance. We are prone to forgetfulness. We need to remember, but we need help to remember. Last week, we saw that the darkness that enshrouded the cross, as Jesus cried out, "It is finished," also had enveloped the women. Loss, grief, death were their constant companions as they walked towards the tomb in the pre-dawn darkness. Then light came into their darkness, and they heard those words, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember, remember, remember what Jesus had said. These things need to happen. Remember his promise that he would never leave you or forsake you. Remember, remember." They, like us, need God's help to remember and to see the possibilities beyond the resurrection, beyond the grave. They need to remember Jesus' words and promises. So gloom turned to joy, and they raced off. And Trevor didn't mention this, but they raced off and they came to the apostles and a group of others who were meeting, and they come with this great news, this unbelievably good news, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Unbelievably good news was not believed. They couldn't see beyond death. The men acted as we would expect first century men to act. The testimony of women was not recognized in their courts because they were regarded as unreliable witnesses. These women must have just been so grieved that they couldn't see. They wanted to see. They didn't really. We're told that Peter ran to the tomb. He wanted to see for himself. And bending down, he saw the strips of linen cloth lying there. And he went away wondering, could this be true? Could it be true? The empty tomb and the words of Jesus are being pondered and result in understanding slowly taking shape. We move on to today's reading. And two of the wider group, not the apostles, head off to Emmaus. Luke identifies one as Cleopas and the other as unnamed. They are engaged in intense discussion about what they'd seen in the past few days and what they'd heard earlier from the women. It was inconceivable, wasn't it, that someone could rise from the dead? But this was Jesus. Could it be true? As readers, as outsiders, we can see that they'll need some convincing. And then, as they talked and as they discussed, Jesus himself came and walked alongside them. But they were kept from recognizing him. They were kept from recognizing Jesus. We're not told why or how. Perhaps it was their grief. Perhaps their expectation, if they did see a risen Jesus, was to see a battered, bloodied figure. Regardless, they can't see through their present gloom. Left to their own devices, they cannot recognize Jesus. They need his help. And he is right there, willing to reveal himself at the right time. He is there, ready to reveal his true risen self. And they weren't the first not to recognize Jesus, and they won't be the last. Despite all that they had heard, they still believe that death is probably the end. Their hopes of a Messiah to come and establish God's kingdom on earth and to get rid of the Romans, their hopes were in the grave. The unrecognized Jesus asks them, "What are you chatting about?" Unbeknown to them, he is about to reveal himself to them. He is about to reveal himself. Cleopas is astonished. "Have you had your head in the sand, mate? Are you the only one not to know what's going on in these days?" They are shocked at his ignorance. And the irony is palpable, isn't it? Because this is the one to whom it's all happened. Jesus asks, "What things?" Cleopas recounts the events, including the women's report. And it seems the thing that's holding them back is that the women did not see Jesus initially. The women didn't see him. So it's like they're not expecting to see him. Because if he was alive, if Jesus was alive, surely he would show himself if he could. And he will. He will. Initially, the women didn't need to see Jesus to believe. These two want to see Jesus. But at this point, they can't. So Jesus graciously explains what is said in the scriptures and the Old Testament about himself. And their hearts are warmed. Their hearts are softened. But they still don't get it. It hasn't come together yet. They still don't see. But they continue to seek. At their urging, he stays with them. And somewhat surprisingly, when it comes to the meal time, he takes the role of the host. And he gives thanks. And he breaks the bread. And instantaneously, light shines into their darkness. And their hearts are open. Their minds are open. They now have 20/20 vision. It's true. It's true. Yes, it's true. And Jesus disappears. But they have heard enough. They have seen enough. Their hearts have been softened. And they race off down the road to Jerusalem. And they find, and now I'm encroaching on Trevor next week or whoever's preaching next week, but they find the assembled group. And they come and they're ready to blurt out, "It's true, it's true, he's risen." But they are gazumped. Other people are saying as they walk in, "It's true, it's true." Not only had Jesus provided evidence for his risen self on the road to Emmaus that day, he'd also shown himself in Jerusalem as well. But more of that next week. Jesus reveals himself to those who are seeking him, even in the midst of doubt and gloom and despair. As with most people, these disciples were skeptical at first. They were skeptical like the rest of us humans. But Jesus meets doubt with revelation. He reveals himself to those who seek. He is prepared to reveal himself to you and to me. Each day he reveals himself to people as they hear and remember his words, as they remember his promises. A fortnight ago, I was speaking to a friend, an ex-missionary who had been in Ukraine for a number of years. And he was telling me a couple of stories. A story of a pastor who had six young daughters. He took his daughters and his wife many, many kilometres away to a safer town. He left them there and returned to his town that was being bombed. He took other people out to safety, and each day he would go in and out, in taking food and medical resources, out taking people to safety. And each and every day he was praying. He was praying that God would shut the eyes of the Russians and open his eyes to the way forward, the correct road, the safe road that day. Each day, he was remembering Jesus' words. He was remembering Jesus' promise, "I will never leave you." He knew the risen Jesus was with him. And for him. My friend, our brother in Christ, this ex-missionary, told me of a church service that took place in a destroyed church in another town. And on that Sunday, the church was full. And many of the people who were there hadn't been to church for years and years. Some had never been to church before. And at the end of the service, a man walks down to the front and says, "I need Jesus. I need Jesus." Jesus revealed himself to that man and others on that day in those horrific circumstances. regardless of your circumstances. Regardless, Jesus is prepared to reveal himself to you again today through his word and through circumstances. Do we pray each day that Jesus would help us to remember what we know is true? Do we ask Jesus to help us to remember his promises in the midst of our mundane days and also in the midst of our chaotic days? We need his help to seek, to remember, to see, to know, and to follow. Praise him that in his grace he provides us. He supplies all our needs. This is among my favourite verses, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. Today, let's remember. Today, let's turn again to the Lord. Today, let's decide to follow the risen Lord, asking for his help each and every step. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you that your word is true, that Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he is risen and he sits at your right hand. Thank you that our all-powerful Saviour longs to help us to remember and to follow each and every day. Father, by your Spirit and by reminding each other, may we remember what we know is true, that you are God, that you are good, and you have sent Jesus to show that you love us. Amen.
God wants to do business with each person here today. So just take a quiet moment to reflect on things that have come out from that sermon today. the psalmist of Psalm 119 treasured and loved God's law. Please join with me as we say together these verses from Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your law. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Peter reminded us that we're never alone because Christ is with us. Please stand as we sing together a song which reminds us of this truth. Sit or kneel for prayer. Christ is indeed with us, and it's a great privilege to be able to talk to him as well as listen to him. Would you please join with me in the prayer Jesus taught his disciples? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. David's going to lead us now in some other prayers.
Saving Father, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son and by your Spirit, and that our eyes are open to who you are. We thank you that you are alive today and able to reveal yourself in many different ways, but mostly through your word that has been given to us and our fellow believers. We thank you for what it tells us in recounting events, such as the one we've heard today, that helps us to have certainty in what we have been taught. We ask for those around us who are yet to see the truth of who Jesus is and what he has done for us that has been predicted in the scriptures and then brought into history 2,000 years ago. Please give them burning hearts to be able to recognise that Jesus is the Lord and Saviour of us all. Give us the opportunity and insight to know what to say to our neighbours and friends who need to hear this good news. And we ask that many people around us will turn their lives to you. We ask this in the saving name of Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we bring our thanks this day as our nation is about to commemorate Anzac Day for the peace and security we enjoy, which was won for us through the courage and devotion of those who gave their lives in time of war. We pray that their labour and sacrifice may not be in vain, but that their spirit may live on in us and in generations to come. Lord, we thank you for those who have served and continue to serve in the ADF. We ask that you would keep them safe from danger, keep them in good relationship with their families, give them wisdom in their service, and draw them to you. Teach us, we pray, to stand with those who serve Australia in this unique way. We ask that the liberty, truth and justice which our armed forces have strived to create may be seen and known in all the nations upon earth. Especially at this time, we bring before you the people in Ukraine and particularly in the east of that country who continue to be grievously attacked by the Russian army. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will curtail aggression and bring about a miracle where the fighting stops and calm will prevail. We know that for man this is impossible, but for you all things are possible. We ask that you will give the world leaders involved the strength to find a way to bring about peace. Lord God, we also bring before you the people of Myanmar, who are not as often in our news, but who continue to suffer injustice and persecution after the 2021 military coup. The United Nations Independent Special Reporter has recently commented saying that this includes war crimes and crimes against humanity, as many hundreds of thousands of people are displaced in another humanitarian catastrophe. Please bring action from the United Nations and other international bodies to achieve justice and peace for this country. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have prepared a place for us where there will be no more war and no more tears, and we can be united in peace together. We long for that day and ask that you will bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. This we pray in the name of the one who gave his life for the sake of the world, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, you rule the earth in love, and your word reminds us that rulers only govern by your wisdom. We thank you that with stable democracy in Australia, we have relative peace and prosperity. Forgive us for ever taking such things for granted. With an upcoming federal election, we pray for those seeking public office. Grant them wisdom, skill, and energy. Protect them from corruption and the temptation of self-serving. Enable them to make realistic promises and help them to keep their word. Preserve them from petty point scoring and foolish name calling. Preserve those of us who vote from those same temptations as well. Grant us prudence and knowledge as we prepare to participate in the federal election, and help us never forget that fearing you, Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. Sovereign Lord, we are thankful that no matter the outcome of the election, you are in control, and we put our trust in you. Amen. Lord our God, we know that you love the truth and detest lies. With such important world events going on around us, we need to understand the truth. So we bring before you the critical role of the journalism-based media and social media platforms in our society. We thank you for the work done by journalists who have a thirst for telling the truth based on facts and informing us of important stories and events that we need to know about or think about. Please prosper them in their work. And Lord God, we ask for the role of professional media in our society to be protected and enhanced. Please protect us from misinformation and deliberate lies, and give us the wisdom to continue to know how to value and support good journalism. Amen. Lord of all peoples, we bring before you this morning our Link missionaries, Shine and Jessica Thomas, and their children who are serving you in Northern Thailand. We thank you for their recent short holiday, especially after the death in February of Shine's father. We ask that you will be with him and his family at this time of grief, that you will provide comfort and solace in line with their needs. We ask that the country team conference in the middle of April will have been an amazing time of fellowship and team building, particularly as they bring in new team members. We also ask for Jessica's work on a new Bible translation project, that you will give her insight and wisdom in how she understands your revealed word and how to make that apply for the people she is working with. For their children, we continue to ask that you will help them to apply themselves well to their schoolwork as their school environment continues to be disrupted with times of online learning compared to in-person learning. And we ask for the whole family as they prepare for their upcoming home assignment later this year, that you will enable this to be a time of refreshment and renewal for them in their work. We thank you for all you are doing in them and through them. Amen. Loving Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to be more and more growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time, in particular Lynn Clark, Jean Steele, Fiona McGregor, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweitzer, Jennifer O'Neill, and Brian Cave. We bring them before you now, turning to you and trusting that you will provide what is needed for each of them at this time. We also ask for our senior minister, Trevor, and his wife, Rosemary, that you will help them to have a lovely break this week and be refreshed by their time away. Amen. Lord, our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And with the words of the set prayer for today, let us pray for a deeper awareness of God's blessing to us in baptism. God of mercy, you wash away our sins. You give us new birth in the Spirit, and you redeem us in the blood of Christ. As we celebrate Christ's resurrection, increase our awareness of these blessings and renew your gift of life within us. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, Just a little bit of time of family business here. Thank you for everyone who regularly supports financially the running of this church. That is a great blessing and allows things to keep happening here effectively. After the service, if you would like prayer for anything, Tony and Barb will be down the front here and they would love to pray with you and for you. Steve and Diane, are there any other announcements? Great. What is the goal of your life? Do you live to worship the King whose voice pierced the grave? Please stand as we sing our final song together. This life I live is not my own. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's been a delight to worship together this week, and I look forward to seeing you as we continue fellowship together over morning tea and then for next week. Thank you.